Welcome to Simple Shape from Shading with Carlisle's Method. This is Shape from Shading implemented within Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. This is part one of training materials, Shape from Shading concepts and terms. My name is Kurt Fisher. I'm the spreadsheet author. Let's proceed to the next slide, number two. Slide two, advanced users. Advanced users can skip this presentation by going to the last three or four slides that review key learning concepts. If you're familiar with the nomenclature and concepts in those last four slides, then go ahead and proceed to part two. Next slide. Slide three. One of the principal uses of shape from shading is the 3D rendering of lunar lava domes. As we will see later in this presentation, lunar lava domes are uniquely suited for the application of shape from shading techniques due to their low heights, low slopes, uniform profiles, and uniform surface consistency. In the left-hand image, we see a terrestrial analog, a 2 or 3 kilometer lava dome in Katmia, Alaska. On the moon, in the center image, is Mons Rümiker, a very large lava dome complex, about 70 kilometers in diameter. If you look closely at the Rümiker image, you'll see a number of smaller lava domes on top of the Rümiker complex. Each of those are perhaps 10 kilometers in diameter. And in the far right image is an old Lunar Orbiter 4 picture of the Marius Hills dome complex. Each of the domes in the right-hand Lunar Orbiter 4 image are probably about 10 kilometers in diameter, and between 300 and 1,000 meters tall. These are the archetypical type of features against which shape from shading techniques are applied. Throughout the remainder of this presentation, the shape from shading technique will simply be referred to as SFS. Next slide. Slide four. What we'll try to learn in this first part are basic nomenclature and terminology used when discussing shape from shading, some of the math behind SFS algorithms that turn pixel brightness into elevations expressed in meters. As you learn some of the mathematical concepts and theory behind SFS, you'll see that it's restricted in application to lunar features that have certain characteristics. We'll try to define those characteristics so you can appropriately plan and select targets for imaging. Next slide, slide five. In brief overview, SFS is conceptually simple. You take a picture of a lunar dome field, make a high resolution or an ultra high resolution cropped image of a single lunar feature, perhaps 100 by 100 pixels in dimensions. You'll note that they're looking at the light curve profile on the far right-hand side, that there is terrain information embedded in that pixel brightness, which with a little bit of mathematical wizardry can be converted into a three-dimensional digital elevation model displayed using virtual reality model language, or VRML, and that's the image in the lower right-hand corner. Next slide, slide six. Again, our cropped image is processed through Microsoft Excel and the spreadsheet that's the subject of this presentation. And out the other end comes a text file, which you can then open up in VRML browser plugin that can be installed into Microsoft Internet Explorer, into Safari or Netscape. Next slide, slide seven. amateurs who are interested in using this type of a spreadsheet typically want to take their three elevation grid or digital elevation model and publish a series of graphical outputs either in semi-professional astronomical journals like Selenology Today or on web distributed articles. To do that, you need a variety of graphical outputs, which are illustrated here. We have a contour map of a dome, an elevation grid, a wire mesh rendering, the vertical slice profile, which can go through either rows or columns of an image. Next slide, slide 8. Getting to the desired result of a variety of graphical outputs that describe the topography of a lunar dome sometimes takes a circuitous route through a number of heterogeneous software packages. The Microsoft Excel spreadsheet presented here, called demcarlotto-method.xls, is one component in that workflow that begins from a FITS image of the lunar surface and ends with a graphical 3D digital elevation map displayed in VRML, or virtual reality modeling language. What the Microsoft Excel spreadsheet that is presented here really does is take data from a cropped lunar image of a lunar dome shown in the left-hand picture of this slide, and processes that and outputs a series of text files. Those text files can be used by spreadsheet programs like Excel itself, by VRML browsers, or by symbolic math programs in order to produce a variety of the graphical output or topographical representations of the dome that you see in the slide. Proceeding from the left to the right, let's talk about some of these software packages. These are the ones illustrated here are my own personal choices. You may have other substitutes that have the same features. Use what works for you. In the left-hand side, we have the cropped image of a lunar dome. That is processed between JPEG and FITS file formats. I tend to use AIP for WIN, a popular astronomical imaging processing package. I like AIP for WIN because it has a lot of good backup documentation that discloses all of the algorithms that are applied to manipulate an image. You always know what AIP for WIN is doing. If you use other popular digital darkroom programs like Photoshop, you don't always know what Photoshop is doing in the background. The other program mentioned there on the left-hand side is LTVT, which is Jim Mosier's and Bondo's Lunar Termination Visualization Tool, a product still in its development phase that was released in 2006. It's freeware, but what it does really well is take a user's lunar image and then rectify that image, correcting for foreshortening. The pixel brightness data that is inside the left-hand image is converted into a text matrix of numbers. For a JPEG image, the levels are usually 0 to 255. Those are then passed into the spreadsheet presented here, demcarlotto-method.xls. The spreadsheet converts that digitized information into a three-dimensional digital elevation model, or for short, a DEM, and outputs that information in three or four formats as text files. You then can open those text files as shown in the illustration either in VRML browser in your math symbolic math program or in Excel and generate the final graphical output. The point is what the spreadsheet dem Carlotto method.xls does is image data comes in one side and a series of text files comes out the other side. Next slide, slide 9. Conceptually, how shape for shading or SFS works to convert pixel brightness into an elevation diagram in meters is shown in this slide. The SFS algorithm uses four key objects that are illustrated in this slide. Pay close attention to this slide and what those four objects are. They'll be repeated to again and again and again, plus in the spreadsheet dem Carlotto method.xls there are worksheets that have exactly the same names that the four objects we're about to discuss as they are used on this slide. For example, the reflectance or incidence map, also called the image pixel map, shown in the left-hand side of the slide, is simply an N by M matrix of the values of each individual pixel. In the spreadsheet presented here, you'll find a worksheet that is labeled image pixel map. Now let's talk a little bit about how the SFS algorithm takes pixel brightness and converts that into an elevation diagram. The raw image is converted into an image pixel map or reflectance or incident map that simply is, again, an N by M matrix of the pixel values. Using a conversion equation, those pixel values are assumed to represent the slope of the terrain, and the second key object, a gradient map, is generated from the image pixel map. Now, since these slopes, which are slopes applied to a uniform 1x1 square pixel, are adjacent to each other, it's assumed that they're connected. So the next step, illustrated in the right-hand top row figure, is to sum the individual gradients into a summed gradient map. In this map, elevations in the original feature are represented in an arbitrary unit of fractional pixels. The x and y dimensions of a pixel, of course, are 1x1, and the z-plane elevation is a value that's a fractional pixel. The final step is shown on the bottom row of, by which the summed gradient map containing abstract elevation scalars is converted into meters. The horizontal image scale, something that most imagers are well acquainted with and frequently compute, is simply multiplied by the abstract z-plane heights that are expressed in abstract pixels, and out the other side we get a digital elevation model, or DEM. Now, this occurs, or this process is applied to each row of the original image, and so the resulting DEM is a full 3D rendering. The other popular method of graphically displaying a digital elevation model is with vertical slices through the feature, and that's what's shown in the lower right-hand figure of this slide. Next slide, slide 10. The mathematical guts, so to speak, of SFS algorithms are whether or not you use a complex higher mathematics analysis to convert the image pixel map into the gradient map. Alternatively, you can use a simplified model. That's going to be, of course, less accurate. The two equations you are looking at are applied at a particular point in the process. Let's go backwards to slide 9 now. Slide 9. They're applied on the top row where the figure labeled reflectance or incident map is converted into the gradient map or map of slopes. Let's go forward to slide 10 now. Slide 10, and we're done with this slide, and let's proceed to slide 11. Slide 11. The simplified SFF algorithm used here is Carlotto's 1996 algorithm. It reduces all of mathematics down to a very minimal bare bones by pre-processing the raw image and rotating it so the apparent azimuth of the sun is always at 270 degrees. As mentioned in the prior slide, simplifying the mathematics reduces accuracy. One of the reasons the accuracy of Carlotto's simplified algorithm is reduced is the introduction of artifacts through the rotation process. Astronomical imaging processing software, as it rotates, generally inserts artifacts into the image. You can see one of those artifacts based on the image statistics on the pre- and post-rotation versions of our lunar dome image shown on the left-hand side. Next slide, slide 12. In the exact example image, the rotation artifacts are pretty easily identified. They were simply an additional border added by the rotation algorithm shown on this slide. But in addition to that, there will be other smaller artifacts introduced into the rotated image that you will not be able to easily detect. The moral of the story is to increase the accuracy of shape from shading using Carlotto's simple algorithm. You should try to minimize the amount of rotation that you apply to your source image. This, of course, doesn't mean that you cannot rotate an image counterclockwise 300 degrees to get it in the right orientation and still use it. It just means you should be aware that the accuracy of such images will be lower than if you pre-plan to have the sun nearly where you want it. It's possible to plan to take a lunar image when the sun is at approximately 90 degrees azimuth at the feature, or at 270 degrees azimuth during the third quarter. Next slide, slide 13. Once the original lunar image is rotated so that the apparent solar azimuth is 270 degrees, you can see the mathematics to convert pixel brightness to a slope is pretty trivial. It's American junior high school level math that parallels the basic slope of the line. Note that in that equation, the tangent of S is the tangent of the zenith angle of the sun, not the solar altitude. As we will see, the best dems are rendered when the solar altitude at the lunar feature is between 4 and, let's say, 10 or 15 degrees. And that, of course, corresponds to a zenith altitude of 86 to 75 degrees. Next slide, slide 14. Like all mathematical models, they are limited representations of physical reality. To the extent that you take a lunar image that departs from the assumptions built into the Carlotto SFS algorithm, the results of the model will be invalid. So by learning a little bit about the assumptions of Carlotto SFS, you can then plan to select your targets to get the best results. Those assumptions, the six of them listed here on this slide, include that it's a uniform reflecting surface, that you have low solar illumination, it's low solar angle illumination, that you're imaging a rectangular field of view, that the data points you take off the field are of a uniform size in the horizontal XY plane, that the feature isn't severely foreshortened. There's also some limitations imposed by the spreadsheet demcarlottomethod.xls in terms of processing time, and we'll wrap up with a discussion of those. So let's look at each one of these constraints or limitations or assumptions to Carlotto SFS in turn, and how we can plan our images to work within the confines of those assumptions. Next slide, slide 15. The first assumption is that the surface being imaged is a uniform reflector or a Lambertarian surface. This condition is met when the surface that you're imaging is made of the same material. In this regard, lunar domes are good targets because they tend to be made from the same material as the surrounding mirror plane. Rills, on the other hand, may have one material on the mirror surface and a second material lining the bottom of the rill. A mountain formed by impact ejection, such as Mons Piton, may have a completely different mineral composition than its surrounding mirror. An easy way to check whether the surface composition surrounding your proposed target is to check the Clementine false color ratio image surrounding your intended feature. Here on the right-hand side, I'm sorry, on the left-hand side of this slide, we see the Lunar Orbiter 4 image of the Marius Hills Dome Complex. The right-hand side is the Clementine false color ratio image. The three lower connector lines are simply to help you orient between the two images. Here, the dome that we are planning to convert into a digital elevation model appears to be either on an all blue or all gray portion of the false color image. Next slide, slide 16. The second assumption of SFS algorithms are that you have an object that is illuminated with low solar angle light. Again, here we're talking 4 to 15 degrees solar altitude. In theory, the algorithm can work up to 30 degrees. Most of the good images that I've seen are between 4 to 10 degrees solar altitude. The image we're looking at here has 15 degree solar altitude light proceeding from the left to right-hand side of the original image. In order to meet this requirement of uniform low-angle illumination, the feature needs to be of a fairly low altitude. There can't be sharp drop-offs into black colors or oversaturated white colors. The slide we're looking at here is an example of a bad dem. You can see the sharp drop off into the black colored zone, loses terrain information. The resulting 3D dem of a lava dome is on the moon is clearly distorted on one side. Not a good result. Let's go to the next slide, slide 17. In this slide, the left-hand image was done by an expert, well-known lunar imager of the Cauchy Omega Dome. You can see this image does meet the requirement of uniform low-level illumination. There are no bright dark wells, just a few oversaturated points. The resulting 3D dem in the lower right-hand corner seems to render the image quite accurately. Next slide, slide 18. Another assumption of Carlotto's simplified SFS algorithm is that the field of view is an N by M rectangular matrix. Sometimes when applying rotation with an astronomical image processing package, you'll end up with an image that is not rectangular. In order to avoid this problem, you need to make sure when you do your initial crop of the image of the feature to leave an extra wide border. Then when you rotate it to the required apparent solar illumination of 270 degrees azimuth, the black border dropouts that are shown in the right-hand figure won't be there. They'll be filled in with lunar terrain. Next slide, slide 19. Again, if we're going to rotate an image using an astronomical image processing package like AIP for WIN, the rotation will modify the photometry quite sharply if your pixels are not square. Many CCD cameras have rectangular pixels. You can blow up the images and look at them and see if they're square or not. AIP for WIN has a utility that will take rectangular pixels and square them up. Next slide, slide 20. The next constraint that can affect the results of a digital elevation model created with Carlotto's simplified SFS algorithm is foreshortening. You don't need to, but you can jump back to slide 9. At the step in the algorithm where we're converting pixel brightness into a gradient elevation map, the assumption is that each one of those data points are sitting of brightness and slope are sitting on uniformly square 1 by 1 abstract pixels. Well, if the image is foreshortened, you violated that assumption. You don't have exactly square pixels corresponding to the brightness at that point in the image. You can compensate for this using a little bit of math to rectify an image. You can also reduce the amount of artifacts into your computation process by limiting the application of Carlotto SFS to close to the center of the apparent lunar disk. Here again, we're talking plus or minus 30 degrees lunar latitude and plus or minus 30 degrees lunar longitude. Libration can give you another 6 or 7 degrees beyond those limits. Next slide, slide 21. The spreadsheet presented here demcarlotto method.xls, is an extension from an initial Excel spreadsheet for shape from shading discussed in Rick Evans' article in the first issue of Selenology Today. Evans 2006A is Rick's pre-publication version of his paper. Evans 2006B is the Selenology Today final publication version of that algorithm. The pre-publication version has one suggestion of how to approach compensating for foreshortening. The publication version in Selenology Today has another version. My take on it is I don't think either of those will really work. In 2006, that sent me on a search for another way to somehow rectify an image of a lunar feature without having to do a lot of computer coding. Next slide, slide 22. The solution that I ultimately hit upon was a piece of software, freeware, that came out in the middle of 2006 and is still an ongoing development project. It's Jim Mosier's and Heinrich Mondo's Lunar Terminator Visualization Tool. It's freeware, great program. It uses two-point registration to rectify user images, so you can then compensate for foreshortening at the image pre-processing stage instead of trying to do some mathematical algorithm application applied at the post-image processing stage. Next slide, slide 23. The simple tilt adjustment equation suggested in Evans's pre-publication paper looks good to me for an individual point, namely the point of maximum elevation on a lunar dome. In the spreadsheet that I've presented here, demcarlotto method.xls, I've added a little calculator that implements the top equation from Evans 2006A. Adjustment suggested in the article published in Selenology Today hasn't been implemented. LTVT provides a quick down and dirty software solution to the foreshortening problem. Next slide, slide 24. One question that many amateurs ask themselves is, are there going to be enough targets to use this SFS process on? Looking at the Geologic Lunar Research Group's prior work, namely Caprell's and Garfinkel's 2005 Lunar Dome Catalog, there are something like 2,500 rows in the 2005 version of Caprell's catalog. There are 396 domes that are either verified or unverified within lunar latitude plus or minus 30 degrees and lunar longitude plus or minus 30 degrees. Those are illustrated, their positions are illustrated on the figure shown on this slide. There are 396 dots plotted in that figure. The problem is most of them are so close together, there's a lot of overlap going on. In the supplemental materials to this presentation, I have included an HTML table that lists the 396 domes discussed on this slide. They're ordered by descending lunar longitude from the east to the west and descending lunar latitude from the north to the south. Of those 396 domes, looking only at Selenology Today journal articles, there are 16 DEMs in the first four issues of selenology today. That leaves 380 domes left for interested amateurs to try to convert to three-dimensional digital elevation models. There's no shortage of observing and publication opportunities in this area. Next slide, slide 25. As noted in the prior slides, you can increase the accuracy of your digital elevation model by trying to take an image that requires the minimal amount of rotation and adjustment for foreshortening via pre-processing of the image using an astronomical image processing package like AAP for Win or LTVT. You do that, as usual, with effective planning. The way I do it is with Virtual Moon Atlas. I sort of randomly go through the first 2 months of a year looking for times when the feature I'm interested in will have a suitable low elevation illumination. The example where it's shown on the slide is the Hortensius Dome Complex. Then Mosier and Bondo's LTVT has a great solar angle planning tool that will go through for 1, 2, or 3 years and pull out every time where the sun is going to be over the feature at that nearly same solar altitude and solar azimuth, or its complement 180 degrees away, and when the moon will be at a certain, a suitable altitude. So, for example, for 2007 and the Hortensius Domes, and my particular observing point, I've got a couple of good opportunities over the next year that I need to just plug into my calendar program and so I remember to take the image. Next slide, slide 26. You can get a little extra accuracy and you know, reduce those rotation artifacts by also bringing libration into the equation. The way I do it is, once I have two or three suitable solar altitude illumination times throughout the year, I just pull out the RACS Observer's Handbook and look at the little dots for libration and see whether or not the feature that I'm looking at will be nearer to the lunar center, depending upon, or further away from the lunar center, at a time of favorable low-angle solar illumination. Usually, when you go through that process, you're going to end up with one, maybe two dates throughout a year where you're going to have the ideal time at which to take an image to make a digital elevation model of a lunar dome. That doesn't mean that you cannot take images at less than ideal conditions. I encourage you to do so. Practice makes perfect. Plus, you can also get a feel for when Carlotto's simple SFS algorithm just isn't going to work because the solar angle at the feature is just too high. Next slide, slide 27. And we are continuing on slide 27. Another limitation that is unique to the spreadsheet presented here, Carlotto method.xls, is a little programming constraint. The way I've written the coding that drives the spreadsheet, there's a recursive loop in it. As a result, processing times are exponential. Once you get over a 100 by 100 pixel matrix for your lunar feature, the processing times start to go up quite dramatically, but not prohibitively so. Most lunar images are taken at a resolution between, let's say, 275 meters per pixel through 360 to 380 meters a pixel. 100 pixels gives you about 30 kilometers of lunar surface. Next slide, slide 28. So, tying all this together on how the assumptions of the Carlotto simple SFS algorithm creates constraints, and how you take those constraints and use them to plan to take an image that will result in the best DEM that you can come out with using these tools. The first constraining factor is, again, uniform surface reflectance. The surface needs to be made of the same material. A dark pyroclastic mantle deposit going across the top of your dome is going to invalidate the model. The next constraint is uniform illumination. No dark wells, no oversaturated points, low solar illumination. I like 4 to 11, at most 15 degrees. You gotta compensate for foreshortening. And the last item is you want to keep your feature images down to 100 by 100 pixels in order to stay within processing time limitations. Next slide, slide 29. Let's begin our wrap-up review. In the wrap-up review, our first learning concept was to understand and memorize some of the basic nomenclature that is used when we're talking about shape from shading. There are four key objects in a SFS algorithm. It's important to know these because they will correspond to worksheets that you will see in the spreadsheet presented here. The first one is the reflectance map. It's also called the image pixel map. It's just the N by M matrix of the brightness of each pixel in the image. The second object is the gradient map. Pixel brightnesses in the image pixel map are converted with an algorithm into slopes. Since those slopes are adjacent to each other, they can be summed, and that creates the third key object, the summed gradient map. In the spreadsheet, you'll see an Excel worksheet labeled gradient sum map that corresponds to that object. And then the final result of the process is the summed gradient map is converted into a digital elevation model, or DEM. And again, in the Excel spreadsheet that we will be looking at, you will see a worksheet that is labeled DEM. Next slide, slide 30. Referring back to slide 9, this slide just shows the operations between each of the four major objects. The reflectance map is converted into the gradient map by applying a conversion equation. The gradient map is changed into the summed gradient map using summation addition, and then finally the summed gradient map is turned into a physical scale by simply multiplying the horizontal scale of your lunar image by the Z-plane elevations that are expressed as fractional pixels in the sun gradient map. Next slide, slide 31. This slide reviews the basic assumptions that turn into constraints in the simple Carlotto SFS algorithm. We'll proceed to the next slide and not review these in any great detail. Slide 32. You are now at the end of part one that concerns basic shape from shading concepts. You should now have mastered some of the basic terminology. So when we see these terms used in the next part two, you'll understand how they relate to turning your image into a three-dimensional digital elevation model. That is the end of part one.